Through the power of Hollywood, almost every person on Earth has received thousands of powerful images of organized crime.
I want reliable people, people that aren't going to be carried away. I mean, we're not murderers, in spite of what this undertaker said.
From the award-winning films The Godfather and The Goodfellas to thousands of lesser films and documentaries, organized crime has been so associated with Italians that Italian music and even spaghetti brings an almost instant association with organized crime. In actual fact, Italians constitute only a tiny fraction of organized crime in the Western world. And one of the most shocking of the WikiLeaks cables comes from the American Embassy in Jerusalem. It's titled, Israel, Promised Land of Organized Crime. And it warns American law enforcement agencies about the severe threat of Jewish organized crime to America. Now, I learned about this from a Jewish publication, the Jewish Chronicle, which calls it, quote, a real WikiLeaks shocker. Well, Jews are allowed to know about this shocker, but just about the whole rest of the world doesn't have a clue about it. You won't learn about this on CNN, Fox News, or the BBC. Today, I will discuss the cable detailing extensive Jewish involvement in organized crime and tell you the history of organized crime that you don't learn about in the mainstream media. Today, you will learn the hidden truth about organized crime. The truth the media bosses hide from you. Of the thousands of diplomatic cables embarrassing to the United States, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, and other nations, a number of commentators have noted how few of the hacked diplomatic cables expose Israel and the Zionists. Considering the fact that the hacked cables span the period of the Israeli mass bombing, murder, and maiming of thousands of Palestinians, women, and children in Gaza, and the fact that they were from the same time period that included the Israeli forging of European and other passports in violation of international law, and the Zionist bloody assassination of Israelis' enemies in third countries, you might wonder why only a few WikiLeaks released cables deal with these major human rights crimes of Israel. Now, some have suggested that WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, is in cahoots with the Mossad. Maybe so. The verdict is not out on that yet, but here's what Assange himself said in a recent interview with Al Jazeera TV. Now remember that Assange is no critic of Israel. In fact, he strongly supported Israel in the past. Assange said that only a meager number of files related to Israel had been published so far because the newspapers that paid for exclusive rights to publish the secret documents didn't want to publish damaging information about Israel. I quote, there are 3,700 files related to Israel, and the source of 2,700 files is Israel. In the next 6 months, we intend to publish more files depending on our sources. The Guardian,
El País,
and Le Monde have published only 2% of the files related to Israel due to the sensitive relations between Germany, France, and Israel. He goes on to say this very revealing statement, quote, even the New York Times could not publish more due to the sensitivities related to the Jewish community in the United States. Consider his words, quote, due to sensitivities related to the Jewish community, they held back thousands of documents on Israel. If you want to know who controls the world's press, here's proof of the real power in the media. The press can publish thousands of WikiLeaks cables that offend the United States, Britain, France, Turkey, Iran, but for God's sake, don't dare offend the Jewish state of Israel. No matter how sensational, no matter how damning these documents are about Israel, you're not allowed to know that most of them even exist. Now notice what was revealed. Documents such as Saudi Arabia supposedly giving the green light for an attack on Iran was on the front pages of the press, Of course, the international media has long had a powerful Jewish influence in both ownership and management of mass media. They show the American people cables and supposedly build up the case for attacking Iran. But the Jewish-owned New York Times will not allow Americans to see cables from our own government called Israel Promised Land for Organized Crime, because Americans aren't even allowed to know about the real and present dangers to our country from Israel's gangsters. Now let's get to the heart of the cable. The cable came from the American Embassy in Jerusalem. The report is titled Israel Promised Land for Organized Crime, and it shows that Israel is the world center for many criminal syndicates, and it shows that there are still at least a few loyal American citizens that are left in our government. That's a bit surprising sometimes. Quote, organized crime has long-standing roots in Israel, but in recent years there has been a sharp increase in the reach and impact of organized crime networks. Organized crime in Israel now has global reach with direct impact inside the United States. Post is currently utilizing all available tools to deny Israeli organized crime figures access to the United States in order to prevent them from furthering their criminal activities on United States soil. The report goes on to show that organized crime reaches into the highest echelons of Israel's government. Quote, just last month, Israeli politicos and organized crime figures came together for the funeral of Likud party activist Shlomo Oz, who served time in prison in the 1990s for extortion on behalf of the Alperon family, a powerful organized crime family. Among those in attendance was Omri Sharon, son of former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. You wouldn't know it from the Jewish Hollywood movies, but Jews have dominated organized crime all over Europe for hundreds of years before there was any Sicilian mafia at all. 99% of you watching this video have no idea that Jews, not Italians, led the most powerful and murderous crime syndicates, the fountainhead of organized crime in America for the entire 20th century was Murder Incorporated. It was an overwhelmingly Jewish organization, the fountainhead for organized crime in America for the rest of the 20th century. Murder Incorporated wasn't Italian and it wasn't a mafia. It was as Jewish as gefilte fish and matzo balls. From this single organization came the biggest organized crime bosses in American history. The most powerful organized crime figure in America was not Al Capone, it was Meyer Lansky, one of the original leaders of Murder Incorporated. Law enforcement personnel agree on the power of Lansky, and they also agree that Lansky was a big Zionist. This is how Newsweek put it. Each year, Lansky and his underworld associates pour vast sums into Israeli bonds and Israeli philanthropies. As the Daily Haaretz saw it, the government seemed afraid of losing the millions of dollars in illicit money first laundered in mob-controlled institutions and then funneled into Israeli businesses and industry. Investigative reporter Jack Anderson talked about the issue in the Washington Post. Quote, this underworld boodle, much of it raised from nefarious enterprises in the United States, is laundered before it arrives in Israel. In the book Lansky, Messick reveals the relationship between Israeli and American Jewish gangsters. Quote, certainly Jewish gangsters have long and openly supported Jewish causes in the state of Israel. On the night Lansky's ex-partner, Bugsy Siegel, was executed, the Flamingo was taken over by Mo Sedgway. When asked how he so conveniently happened to be in Las Vegas, he explained that he was there to arrange a United Jewish Appeal Fund drive. The same Jewish media that has consciously and relentlessly created an Italian association with organized crime actually forced publishers of Messick's book to change the cover of the book, Lansky, to drop mention of the Jewish role in organized crime. Here's the old cover and the new. You see, it's great for the media to lay on the Italian organized crime connections incessantly, but they can't stand one little book subtitle about the real leaders of organized crime. And this was also the most ruthless, murderous, evil crime organization ever to exist in the United States. They killed hundreds of people, from solid criminals to many innocent individuals. Their specialty was to kill people slowly with ice picks or by hog-tying people in such a way as when they struggled to breathe, they would slowly strangle themselves. Nice, huh? The organization was overwhelmingly Jewish, much like the leadership of the early murderous Bolsheviks in Russia, another fact you're not allowed to know. Here is just a partial list of their members with some colorful nicknames for these bloody killers. Max the Jerk Golob, Louis Lepke, Buchholbet, Abadaba Berman, Frankie Tietelbaum, Lulu Rosencrantz, Lou Cohen, Mickey Cohen, Tootsie Feinstein, Izzy Farbstein, Pittsburgh Phil Strauss, Bugsy Goldstein, Bugsy Siegel, Gangy Cohen, TikTok Cannonbaum, Arnold Rothstein, Meyer Lansky, Big Greeny Greenbaum, Sholem Bernstein, and I could go on and on and on. By the way, they sound like the names of the bosses of the Federal Reserve, International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank, and for good reason. The name of Ben Shalom Bernanke or Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs could fit right in. Blankfein and Bernanke are crooks that make Murder Incorporated look like small time. Ironically, these Jewish killers at Murder Incorporated killed another Jewish killer that millions of Americans believed was German. His name was Dutch Schultz. Now that's one hell of a pseudonym. This incredibly evil killer wasn't Dutch and he wasn't German. His name was Flegenheimer and his lineage was 100% certified kosher. Jewish writer Brad Greenberg writes about these Jewish murderers in a column about a book titled, quote, Tough Jews by Rich Cohen. Greenberg, to his credit, criticizes Cohen because his book makes heroes of Jewish murderers. But his commentary is also very revealing. Quote, these gangsters were tough. And when I discovered this fact at the age of 12 or so, it thrilled me. This reaction is easy to understand. I was at the time facing the oppression of anti-Semitic schoolyard thugs, and in my revenge fantasies, Bugsy Siegel and Gura Shapiro were lining up on my side, blackjacks in hand. For Cohen, a writer for Rolling Stone magazine, the Jewish gangsters are the purest expression of the Jewish spirit and the means through which he defines his own Jewishness. Greenberg can say for his Jewish readers that the Jewish gangster murderers are, quote, purest expression of the Jewish spirit, but if I said that, my God, I'd be boiled in oil. Meanwhile, Jewish Hollywood studios have churned out movie after movie about the Italian mafia and very little about the Jewish syndicate. To show you that the media deception about organized crime is no accident, take, for instance, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith. Now, the ADL is a huge Jewish organization meant to defend Jews from, quote, defamation. The leader, Abe Foxman, is considered a great authority by the press, quoted all the time. And he has met and been praised by just about every American president.
For nearly a century, the Anti-Defamation League has been a leading voice for freedom and equality. We share the belief that America's strength comes from a broad diversity of backgrounds and faiths, and the welcome we have always extended to immigrants who want to share in the American dream.
Yet the same organization was itself financed by Jewish organized crime killers. The ADL got millions of dollars from crime bosses such as Mo Dalitz, the organized crime godfather of Las Vegas who ran the notorious Purple Gang in Detroit, an all-Jewish gang involved in smuggling, white slavery, and contract murder. And the ADL, the leading Jewish organization supposedly defending Jews from defamation, gave this vicious criminal their highest honor, the Torch of Liberty Award. Now, many of you listening to me at this minute have deeply ingrained associations of organized crime with Italians, Italian names, Italian music and food. The trick is that Jewish crime bosses had allies that Italians didn't. They had allies in the Hollywood film industry, allies in the biggest elements of the news media, and many allies in government who were beholden to Jewish money and political influence. As the 20th century progressed, Jewish influence in the media has become breathtaking in scope. Imagine if Italian relatives of the mafia owned most of the media and was the biggest player in political fundraising in the United States. Pretty scary, isn't it? But with Jewish organized crime, it's a fact of life. A perfect example is the most vicious, murderous, and powerful organized crime apparatus on Earth, the so-called Russian Mafia. I must thank some very brave Jews for exposing the Jewish nature of the biggest crime threat on Earth. It shows that not all Jews support such terrible things. But the facts that these brave Jews reveal show that many Jewish leaders are in cahoots with the criminals. The very courageous Jew, Robert Friedman, who died of a strange blood disease after he began exposing the powerful Jewish role in organized crime, wrote extensively about the so-called Red Mafia. Friedman showed that it was led by Jews and operated from the earliest days of the Jewish-dominated Russian Revolution. The two most prominent organized crime figures in recent Russian history are Berezovsky and Vladimir Kaczynski. Both were media moguls in Russia, having enormous power in TV, radio, newspapers, and magazines. Both were indicted for organized criminal activity. In 1999, Berezovsky seized control of Moscow's TV6 television station, Russia's premier daily business newspaper, Kommersant, and he promptly fired its editor, Raf Shakirov, who said, quote, his ouster is an attempt to curb often critical coverage of the tycoon's business and political activities. Jewish media influence in America is legion, but it's not total. Forbes magazine published a scathing article about Berezovsky entitled, quote, the godfather of the Kremlin, with no byline for fear of violence against its author. The magazine's editor, James Michael, said that, quote, Berezovsky stands tall as one of the most powerful men in Russia. Behind him lies a trail of corpses, uncollected debts, and competitors terrified for their lives. Here are some more quotes directly from the Forbes article. Quote, assassination is a tool of business competition. Scores of business leaders and media personalities have been killed. Berezovsky controls Russia's biggest national TV network. His control was solidified shortly after the first chairman of the network was assassinated, gangland style. Berezovsky was immediately fingered by the police as a key suspect. Kaczynski, who also fled Russia, was an organized crime boss and, unsurprisingly, a Russian media mogul. Interestingly, he was also head of the Jewish Congress in Russia. Ultimately, both of these organized criminals were shielded and protected by highly placed Jewish brethren in Britain and Spain who have political influence there just as they do in America and most nations from Ukraine to Chile. When Kaczynski was arrested in Greece on a warrant for his crimes in Russia, Jewish organizations boasted that, quote, the European Jewish Congress led to Kaczynski's release within 5 days. And notice that these men and the latest Jewish criminal, Khodorkovsky, have been ardently defended by the mainstream media. How much more dangerous is organized crime when it has a huge worldwide network protecting its worst criminals and has ties in the press that cover up their crimes? Even today, a Jewish organized boss such as Khodorkovsky, whose associates and he have murdered many Russians and who stole over $300 billion of resources from the Russian people, is praised by the globalist media, while Putin is condemned for prosecuting him. Khodorkovsky gets an incredibly light sentence of 14 years for his horrific crimes, but the heavily influenced globalist media defends him while Russia and Putin are condemned. Now here's a clip about the so-called Russian Mafia, the most dangerous and ruthless international crime organization the world has ever seen.
The Red Mafia, a term covering organized crime groups from all the former Soviet republics, emerged with a vengeance from the rubble of the USSR. The bones of a bankrupt state were there to be picked over, and a rapacious new gangster class rapidly arose. Criminal millionaires minted overnight. Their power and the speed with which they seized it was staggering. By the mid-1990s, there were more than 6,000 crime groups operating in the former Soviet Union. In Russia, an estimated 80% of all businesses were paying protection money, and the mob controlled most of the country's banks. The Red Fellas, as they're often called, quickly earned a reputation for ruthlessness. In 1993 alone, Moscow saw 1,400 mob-related assassinations as crime bosses carved out their new territories.
The rise in homicides and kidnappings and bombings was stupendous in the early 90s. It was sort of a mix between Chicago of the 1920s and a peculiar Russian kind of violence.
The gangsters killed each other. They killed each other's families. They killed businessmen who wouldn't submit. And they even killed journalists who reported on them, a target the most brutal American mafioso would have considered off limits.
I have worked the Italian-American mafia, the Sicilian mafia, the Colombian mafia, and the Russian mafia. And I would consider that the Russian mafia is the most fearsome, most treacherous, most violent of all the organized crime groups that I've ever worked.
But violence wasn't all that set the Russians apart.
These Russian guys have master's degrees, they're engineers, they're economists. It's a whole different notion of organized crime than what we've had before.
This dangerous mix of sophistication and savagery has allowed the Red Mafia to muscle in on any racket that can make a profit. In just a decade, they've taken hold in the United States, as well as nearly 60 other countries.
Of course, every time the Jewish media term Russian Mafia is used, it's the biggest of the big lies. For the leaders are not Russian, and they're not Mafia. As Robert Friedman shows, the biggest organized crime boss in the world is a Jew by the name of Mogilevich. Occasionally, though, the truth breaks out, even if it isn't in the movies. The Village Voice on May 26, 1998, ran a story called, quote, "The Most Dangerous Mobster in the World" by Robert Friedman. He writes, quote, "According to the FBI and Israeli intelligence, Mogilevich rules over an arms trafficking, money laundering, drug running, and art smuggling Red Mafia, the most dangerous mobster in the world. The leader of the Red Mafia is a 52-year-old Ukrainian-born Jew. He's a shadowy figure known as the Brainy Don. He holds an economics degree, and he's never been exposed by the media. The truth about the Russian Mafia is obscured by the Hollywood and news media, and it's typified by the Hollywood film Eastern Promises, which is about the so-called Russian Mafia and stars Viggo Mortensen, the returning hero king from the Lord of the Rings saga. Not only is he of strikingly non-Jewish appearance, he's applied with fake, huge tattoos of the Christian cross. Not Stars of David, mind you, but Christian crosses. Once again, a double lie is imprinted in the minds of unsuspecting movie viewers, a depiction of the Russian Mafia as Christians and Russian when they're not Christians and they're not Russians. Such is a vicious slander against the Russian people and a cover-up of the true Jewish identity of the most dangerous and evil criminal outfit on earth. How many times have you seen Jewish-made movies in Hollywood showing evil Italian mobsters in the Catholic Church and being welcomed and shielded by it? There's no way to exaggerate the incredible amount of human harm that's been done by the Jewish mob. The worst human rights crime in the world is the white slavery trafficking of millions of young women. It is dominated completely by Jews, not by Italians. It has subjected literally tens of millions of women to unspeakable filth, degradation, drug addiction, physical abuse, or loss of life. Imagine your daughter or your sister subjected to such horrendous defilement. A January 11, 1998 article titled "Slave Traders Lure Slavic Women" was written by Michael Spector. It was distributed by the Jewish-run New York Times News Service, and it documents white slave operations of huge proportions. The piece begins with a poignant story about how a beautiful blonde Ukrainian girl, hoping to escape the poverty and despair of her village life, answered an ad in a small newspaper in her hometown. The ad promised work and opportunity abroad, and she wound up as a sex slave in Israel. Quote, "She was 21, self-assured and glad to be out of Ukraine. Israel offered a new world, and for a week or two, everything seemed possible. Then one morning, she was driven to a brothel where her boss burned her passport before her eyes. 'I own you. You are my property, and you will work until you earn your way out. Don't try to leave. You have no papers, and you don't speak Hebrew. You'll be arrested and deported. Then we will get you and bring you back.'" Spector identifies both the prostitutes and their masters. He quotes an Israeli white slave master, Jacob Golan. Quote, The women who work there, like nearly all prostitutes in Israel, are Russian. Their boss is not. Israelis love Russian girls, said Jacob Golan. They're blonde and good-looking and different from us, he said, chuckling. Of course, Israel's not the only destination of the Eastern European women. The Jewish gangs in Russia have strong connections with Jewish organized crime syndicates all over the world. According to Ukraine's Interior Ministry, an estimated 400,000 women under the age of 30 were lured from just the Ukraine in the past decade. And that's just one of the former Soviet states. Spector quotes the International Organization for Migration as estimating that 500,000 Eastern Bloc women are trafficked into Western Europe and around the world annually. It's a human tragedy of huge proportions and one that receives very little press. It is the greatest and most egregious violation of human rights, and it's the great shame of our age that more is not done to stop this horrific crime. The New York Times titled the article, Slave Traders Lure Slavic Women. Imagine if it accurately was headlined, Jewish Slave Traders Lure European Women. If an article was titled, Mafia Slave Traders Lure Women, Mafia being a clearly Italian-derived word, no one would have blinked twice or objected. But the media doesn't dare tell the truth. One doesn't have to go to the very depths of organized crime to see the huge criminal thefts of the 20th century. In America, the biggest thieves in history were, until Madoff, Michael Milken, Irvin Boesky, and the Wall Street swindlers of hundreds of millions of dollars. They received punishments equal to a thief stealing a pack of gum. Another was Mark Rich and his theft of hundreds of millions of dollars. And the Jewish inside political influence that got him a pardon even while skipping bail and being a fugitive. Now that's a first. Charged with the theft of millions, you're a fugitive, and you're pardoned while you're still on the run. And the 21st century goes on in the same way. It was Bernie Madoff who stole billions, and his crimes were seen as especially horrible because some Jews numbered among the victims. In fact, most of his victims were Gentiles, but of course, Jewish victims got all the media attention. To show you how crazy it's gotten, Madoff got severe criticism in the media for robbing from his fellow Jews. Now imagine for a minute if a Gentile defrauded Jews of billions, and the biggest criticism was the fact that he stole from fellow Gentiles and how that makes the crime much worse than if he'd stolen from Jews. Wow. Yet Madoff's biggest criticism came from the fact that he stole from Jews. Forbes magazine wrote that among the 11 top oligarchs of Russia, the criminals who murdered, extorted, and embezzled an incredible 50% of the wealth of the richest nation on earth, 9 were Jews. These criminals did not have names like the Sopranos. The criminal oligarchs who have been prosecuted for their crimes have been sheltered in other nations by men and media of huge influence. The only thing that perhaps exceeds the financial crimes here mentioned are the recent crimes of the leading financial criminal bank in the world, known as Goldman Sachs, Mr. Blankfein, and Mr. Kahn, and the even bigger robberies of the Federal Reserve itself under Ben Shalom Bernanke and Janet Yellen. The Fed recently stole over $20 trillion from you, your money, your taxes, and so-called bailouts of criminal international banks. We must expose the organized crime corrupting our world and destroying the lives of hundreds of millions of people. Imagine if your daughter was one of the millions kidnapped in white slavery, or who had her life ruined because of the promotion of drug abuse by the Hollywood movie industry, and the international criminals who are aided by the Hollywood filth that makes drug and alcohol abuse fashionable. Your safety and security in the future of all you hold dear is in your own hands. I leave you with the image of organized crime presented by the controlled media. The Return of the King actor playing a Russian mafia criminal covered with the Christian cross. And I compare this to the real life faces of the real criminals who cause unspeakable human suffering and misery.
Because you can see what tattoos the man has.
We can destroy organized crime, but we must destroy its underpinnings in media and government corruption. It's just like during the days of Prohibition, when Jewish Hollywood promoted alcohol relentlessly. At the same time, the biggest organized crime bootleggers, like the Bronfmans, smuggled it in and sold it. Bronfman himself became a media mogul. Now you know why some of my videos are censored. It's because I expose the lies of the media and I offer you a short glimpse, like in this video, into the real world. Keep looking and keep learning if you are courageous enough. For a more in-depth, fascinating, and well-documented look into the issue, read my books, My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism. More and more people are waking up to the truth. We now have our own media, and we can expose the facts that anyone can discover and prove for themselves. Even if they control 90% of the media, the 5% that we create can affect 90% of the people. Just as all my documentaries get an over 90% thumbs up from the public. Now you know why that until now you did not hear about the WikiLeaks cable. Now you know why the same media who censored that cable lies to us about the real leaders of organized crime. And why they also try to defame and censor me. Is it any wonder the ADL says what it does about me? But I will press on as long as I'm able, as long as I have breath in my body. I'll stand up for what I believe in, what I believe to be true and right and just. But I need your help in this fight for the future of you and your children.